through this great book, a handbook for Christian living is the theme of this book. And so 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 21. And the title of our message this morning is Living Out Hope. Living Out Hope. And so I pray that we'll see about this wonderful salvation that Peter has spoke to us already about, but then what do we do with it, and how do we apply it? I love the scriptures speak to that and tell us, but if you would, to begin with, let's take our copy of God's Word, whether it's electronically in your hand, let's stand on our feet, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll be looking at 1 Peter 1, chapter 13, and verses 21, and the Word of God says this: therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Sounds like our memory verse, don't it? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by your traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that You'll go forth, Your Word will go forth, and speak to us for Your glory. And all God's people said, you may be seated. So as we continue on with this study, this wonderful salvation that Peter has shown us and laid out for us, we got to the joy inexpressible and full of glory and how Christ has saved us and redeemed us. And as we grow and we think about the sin, we have been saved from the penalty of sin in our past. When we came to know Christ as our personal Savior, that penalty of sin has been taken and nailed to the cross. But now as we grow in Christ, if you remember, He's delivering us from the power of sin. We have the things that were issues that we grow in, and in our personal sanctification, God is delivering us from the power of sin. But praise God, one day He'll deliver us from the presence of sin. And that'll be a great day when we stand in heaven with Him forever. Listen, I'm tired. I don't know how smart that was to go and move Sierra yesterday. We spent 11 hours in Greensboro moving furniture. Two-second story. Wash machine, dryer, couch, and it's like about the end of that thing, I was so wore out, I was dragging my tracks out. There's going to be a day I'm not going to be tired, folks. There's going to be a day there's not going to be any pain or sorrow. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any sin. No sin whatsoever. I'm not going to have to deal with this old flesh and myself. I tell you, that is what... And Peter's telling them, listen, you're going, and he's writing his church, they're going through difficulty, and they're going through challenges, and they're being persecuted for their faith. And he's telling them, man, remember these things, and hold on to them, and we're working towards something. We're working towards a finish line. We're living out this hope that He's given us. And so, no sorrow, no pain, man, we're being saved in this hope. Looking forward to that day. Peter, then, he's reminding these pilgrims of this great hope. I love Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite authors, revivalitarians, but he made this statement in one of his books. He says, this is what Leonard Ravenhill says, the most amazing thing that God has ever done is taking unholy men in an unholy world, making them holy and putting them back in an unholy world and keeping them holy in it. He said, that's the most amazing thing that God does. And this is what this hope that Peter's talking about. He saved us with His marvelous grace, and He's taken us out of the former path that we'll see. He's taken us away from this path, this broad path that leads to destruction. Remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? And many's going to find it to the narrow path and the narrow way that leads to life, and few. Privilege. It's a privilege. 60 and 70 people that was involved last week. We all had a part in that. I just got to be at that moment that when you see God harvest. That is a tremendous thing, a tremendous privilege. And you know what it does? It brings hope. It brings hope into their lives. You say, well, they're not having to deal with these. They will one day, okay, if the Lord tarries and they live long enough. We give them an anchor for their soul, something that cannot be moved. And Peter, that's what he's doing. He's encouraging these guys because I want you to know also this morning, hardship comes. This life can be very difficult. And there's a lot of things that come our way and come down the pipe. Now, I was talking to our Sunday school class. Sometimes we spiral. And we spiral, you know what, if we're not careful, we go down the rabbit hole. And we'll hit bottom sometimes. It can be difficult. It seems like every time, have you ever felt like every time you move, you get slammed by something else? Anybody else ever felt that way? And yet, we have this thing that cannot be moved. And that's what he's talking about, this living hope. We have this hope. And really, Peter's gave us the doctrinal side of it. He's talked about the Christ and how we've had this thing that's not corruptible. It never fades. We have this thing that's set in heaven. We're working towards this future salvation as well, the glorification. But he wants us, listen, that's the doctrinal side. But here's what you do with it. Aren't you glad the Scripture's full of that? That, okay, here's the doctrine. Here's the theology. This is what you do with it. And that's what our lesson is about today, the practical side of our salvation. How do we live out this hope that God's given us? And so I want us to look, begin with, prepare for action, verse 13. What does verse 13 say? Therefore, he said, because of this great hope that we have in Christ, because of this great salvation, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's saying, look, prepare for action. Christianity is not sitting back waiting on it to happen. It's not just sitting and saying, okay, it'll happen later. No, it's action. And what does he say to do? Put your hope into action. You're in a relationship with Christ. It will make a difference in your job. If you're in a relationship with Christ, it'll make a difference in your friendships. If you're in a relationship with Christ, it'll make a difference in your marriage. It makes a difference. It gives us this hope, this infusion of hope that we get because we're in this relationship with Him. And that's why He's saying, therefore, and He's leading us to somewhere because of this great salvation. What does He tell us to do? Prepare for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. He said, what in the world? Gird up the loins of your mind. You need to understand the context. These are actions, by the way. This, the context of this situation is, in that time, they wore the long robes. They wore the outer garment that was a long robe. They always had a belt on. And listen, when they got ready to walk or they got ready to work or even the Roman soldiers, when they got ready to fight, they would take that long robe and they would stick it in their belt. Gird up. Get ready to fight. Get ready to battle. Get ready to move. Get ready for action. Get ready to work. Therefore, gird up the loins of what? Your mind. Prepare. Prepare for action. And the first thing is girding up the loins of our mind. Ephesians tells us in our armor in 6:14, he says that, therefore having girded with the waist with truth. So this part of our armor, it's getting ready. It's an action word because of truth. We stand upon the Word of God. We stand upon this, what He's given us. Listen, that was one of the greatest things, by the way. It's when I set them down. Talk to them about Jesus. This is really right. I said, I want you to know something. You can ask them. I said, I'm your pastor and I love you. You can trust me, but I don't want you to put your trust in what I'm saying. I want you to read it from the Word of God yourself. And I took them and let them read what the Word of God, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, I said, read that last word. You will be saved. Woo! That's good stuff. And the Word of God, it brings us hope and it prepares us. And listen, He says, gird up your mind with these things. Rest in that. There's going to be days that you don't feel like it. Can I get an amen? There's going to be days that, what else is going to, hey, ever said, what else is going to come down the pipe today? What else am I going to have to deal with? Anybody else? Maybe it's just me. It's going to be days like that, aren't they? There's something that you can rest upon. That no matter what comes, He's saying, look, gird up the loins of your mind. Place your hope and trust not in your feelings,
You know, if we go by feelings, you're a messed up person. If you're one of them people, it's like, I mean, seriously, it's emotion driven. And everything is just an emotional roller coaster. And it's all right, God made you that way, but you got to understand there's some stability in it, okay? Gird up the loins of your mind. If you have this hope, he's saying, get ready. Because I want you to see, he says next, be sober. That means self-control. Pay attention. Wake up. Christian life is getting ready to take place. We hear that word, we think sober. Well, I'm not drunk, so I'm good. No, that ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about be sober. And that's a good word. Being sober means you're not being controlled by alcohol or those kind of things. But what he's talking about is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Be in control. Be sober. Be self-controlled. Pay attention. Life is going on around you. Do you understand that God brings people right into your lap for a purpose and a plan? Last week, copier, look, you imagine on vacation Bible school, the carpenter gave us a fault. It's like, dear Lord, do not tear up right now on this week. We need you. And so I said, well, we better call. Let her know. She said, I'll send a sharp guy out. He'll make sure everything's all right. Walked in here. His name was Jeff. He was a great guy. You know what? I got to talking to him, and he grew up being a Buddhist. Right here. God will bring them right in your lap, and don't be so worried about getting fixed so much what you got going on. Yeah, that needed to take place, but you know what I saw? I saw the worth of the soul that's there that God brought right in my lap. How dare me to be a pastor? Look, and this guy comes right in our church, let him in, walk him into the office, and I'm just worried about you fixing our copier because it's about us. How about the soul that's there? You know what? I shared him Jesus, son. Give him the full gospel. I said, I had a captive audience because he couldn't get between me and the door. I done hemmed him in. Planted the seed of the gospel in his life. And you know what? God takes that and he uses that. Fall in love with planting a seed in his life. God will water. God does the harvesting. I felt good because I'm thinking, man, I could be so jacked up about making sure the copier gets fixed that I missed out on a great opportunity God brought right in my lap. He does that in your life, too. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. And sometimes when I'm doing that, sharing with people, I'd say, please don't ask me what I do. I'm serious because they'll ask you, and they'll say, well, that's just his job. You got such a greater platform than I do. Because you can just say, man, I just love you. I'm just a Christian that loves Christ. You know, it's not a job to me. It's something that God's called us all to do. And so he's saying, look, be sober. Pay attention to what's going on. And by the way, the Christian life is a reflective life. You say, what are you talking about? It has to do with we use our mind and we think back and we remember what Christ has done for us. We remember why he's called us into this glorious hope. We reflect on these things and we think about these things. And so men and women are very intentional on what they do because we have this high calling in our life. Prepare for action. And then he says, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you as revelation. So we rest our hope, your hope fully upon grace. Now that's a word that we sing about, amazing grace. We sing about all these things. But I'm going to tell you, when you grasp the meaning of an unmerited favor that's been given to your life and love, unconditional love. Rest your hope. Not a sure hope, so, but a hope that has a foundation anchored in the promises of God's Word. Rest your hope fully upon grace. It's grace, the only reason that you're saved. Rest it upon it. Why? I'm going to tell you, people will let you down. I'll let you down, but Christ never will, and His Word never will. Rest it upon, fully upon grace. So these action words, prepare for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon grace. Because why? Life's messed up. Murphy's Law, I saw that Murphy's Law. What is Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Right? I don't know who come up with that. I tried to research it. It goes back into the 1800s even. Who come up with that? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. How true is that? Seems like, but I'm going to tell you something. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Christ's law. And one day, when we get out of this old world,
anything that can be good will be good. Woo! The opposite, complete opposite. We live in a world, yeah, that's fallen and corrupted, and things happen. Murphy's Law. It's going to happen. I told my Sunday school class, I got in that Chevrolet. Now, I know I'm a Chevrolet man, right? That air didn't work again yesterday, and I was tired 11 miles of moving, and I wanted some air conditioning, okay? Hey, just roll the windows down. I didn't want to roll the windows down. When you get tired, if you're not careful, the real stuff comes out, don't you? I'm like, dear Lord, I just fixed this. Sam, you'd say, it's Chevrolet, right? And go ahead and fix it again. Hey, wait a minute. But no, seriously, do we not? Sometimes we'll let little things like that rob our joy, will we not? We'll let little things rob our joy. That's just things that's going to happen in life. It's just going to happen. Anything can go wrong, it will. But listen, in Jesus' name, it supersedes Murphy's Law, okay? Because in Christ, I can overcome anything. In fact, he said that I'm more than a conqueror, did he not? In Christ Jesus, I can overcome these hardships. How do I get through? Rest. It's not a rest like sitting back on your duffs, right? It's a rest like it's set. It's set upon what? It's set upon the hope and grace of the future. It makes, you know what it do? Because it said the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, you know what? This future anticipation, this future grace and the fulfillment of grace, it makes me patient. Why? I want you to know something. If you're an amillennialist, this is not the millennial kingdom. Dear Lord, this is closer to the other way, okay? If this is your idea of the millennial kingdom, you're badly mistaken. I'm sorry. This is not heaven. Heaven is coming one day. Can anybody say amen? We watch our people that we love get sick and frail and pass away. And if you've ever seen that, it's not an easy thing to go through, is it? There's coming a day there ain't going to be no death, no dying. All of it will be fixed. Why? Because Jesus Christ stepped upon this earth and he's the great fixer, okay? He can fix all your problems and he did on the cross. And we have this hope. And you know what Peter said? Listen, this church, you're being under persecution and you got all these things coming. But get your eyes up! Don't look down. Don't get the mully grubs. He said, get your eyes up. Why? There's hope. There's hope. We're strangers. We're not citizens here. We're just passing through. In fact, you call them pilgrims, didn't begin with. You pilgrim. Passing through. We're not settlers. We're pilgrims. When we get our hope on his presence, you know what we do when we think about Christ? When we get our hope on his presence, we become that which we hope for. What you hope for is what you become. Hope in Christ. Hope, place your hope in Christ. Because I want you to know, we gird up our minds and we get it on heaven, and it will help us be focused on what's important. Because next he calls us to be, not only that we have prepared for action, but be different. Look at verses 14 and 16. Through 16, it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, also be holy in all your conduct, because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. What does holiness mean? It means separated, set apart, consecrated for a purpose to do what? Glorify God. In other words, you are holy instruments. Now, you might not feel holy. Again, it has nothing to do with your feelings. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with what God says. And the only holiness that we have is the righteousness of Christ that's in us. Okay? And he says that we're these holy instruments, special instruments that are set apart. How do we understand this principle? Well, look what he says. Leave your past. Leave your past. If you're like me, you got one that's full of garbage back there. If you're not careful, you go back there sometimes. But when I go back there, you know what I always remember? I remember what Jesus has done for me. He delivered me from my past, from the sins of my past. And so we leave our past. He says, obedient children, not conforming to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, In other words, I can say this, the stupid sins we have committed. Can anybody say amen?
I'm going to tell you, dear Lord, I shouldn't even be alive. I look back and I'm like, that had to be God. It had to be God. I don't know how I got home those times. I don't know any of that. That is God. And I look back at my stupid sins. And I don't revert. Why would I ever go back to that? Why would you ever look back to the past and long for it? Unless you were lost. If you've ever been delivered from it, all you can do is say, praise God, that's covered by the blood. Woo, I'm headed home now. I'm out from under that bondage. And he's saying, leave your past, obedient children, not conforming to the former lust. We've been adopted. We've been given his nature now. The divine nature has been planted in our souls. So we don't need to act like we did in the past. Leave your past, the former lust. When Christ moves in, you know what? There's a new control center. Come on. There's a new control center. Set your mind on Christ. He gives us new desires. We don't grieve our Lord by walking in the ways of flesh, but we struggle and fight against flesh like killing an enemy that's within us. Destroy, and you know what? It'll destroy your testimony. You know why? Sin can never satisfy. Okay? I can test the man. Never satisfy. It's a black hole. God has called you to holiness. You know what the first thing about all of us say, I can't be holy. You're exactly right. Ding, ding, ding. You're the winner. The grand prize winner. You cannot be holy in and of yourself. But he calls us to be holy. Look at the scriptures. Do not conform to the evil desires which you once did in your ignorance. You know what? Listen, you're no longer set apart to do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, as much as you want to do it. You're set apart under the Lord and under his standards, to walk by his standards. And so he says, be holy, and we'll go on, because he's called us to holiness. Next is to imitate Christ. He who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. He became human that he could give us this example of holiness to live by. You say, well, what? How am I supposed to act? Look and see how Jesus lived. And you can't do that on your own, by the way. You have to receive him as your personal Savior. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God that's in you and lives through you to be wholly separated unto him. He's calling us unto himself here. Peter's saying, look at that salvation. Be different. Prepare for action to be different as well. Because lastly, look, fear God. Verses 17 through 21. What does it say? And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed has foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. He's saying, listen, fear God, reverence God. You have a holy God that calls you to be holy and reverence him and honor him through living that out through his standard. Live in reverent fear. Act like God is alive because he is. He's alive. And he's not impartial. He's not an impartial judge there. You say, what's he talking about there? We'll all stand before the Lord and give an account. Live in reverent fear. Why? We will give an account. He is an impartial judge, and you'll give an account not for my sin. Not for my sin. Romans 8:1 said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I will never stand condemned for my sin, but I will stand in account to Jesus Christ for what I have done with my salvation when I come to know him. And you say, well, as long as I make it in, you will not feel that way when you stand there. I promise you. He's an impartial judge. In other words, you're going to stand and give an account for what you, to whom much is given, much is required. I promise you think, well, I'm just going to sit a pew out here and I'm saved, am I all right? When you get there, you will wish that you hadn't set that pew, that you wish you'd give your life to Christ and work for him and labor for him, okay? Does anybody understand that?
He's an impartial judge. It will matter. Only the foundation. In fact, the scripture says, the wood, hay, and the stubble is going to burn up. How much stubble you got in your life? It's going to burn. Only the precious things. Only the things that you've done for Christ. Only that motivation when you want to bring glory to Him. That's the only thing that will remain. The foundation that was built on Christ will stand and it'll endure. The rest will burn up. And then you remember what you were bought with. Look, remember what you were bought with. What's it say here in the Scripture? It says it wasn't silver and gold. It wasn't the things that the world calls precious, okay? Look what it was. It was the precious blood of Christ. Remember what you were bought with. It cost God everything. How precious are you to Him that He would pay such a price? That's how precious that you are. Each soul sitting in this room. Those young people can understand it last week. Can you understand it this week? Can you understand it this morning that it was the precious blood of Christ that was paid on your account? Remember what you were bought with. God sent His Son for you. We ought to fear Him. We ought to reverence Him and be grateful to Him. The price was great. And you know what? If He paid that price, listen to me closely. He owns you. He owns you. That means you're no longer your own person and your own master to be able to tell what you... I'll just do what I want to do. Christ owns you. What does He want you to do? He bought you. He bought you. And He owns you. Allow Him to work in your life. And look at the effect. Look at the effect of this. You were redeemed from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. It's not about traditionalism. If we're not careful, we get our dander up about this statement a little bit. Why? Well, it doesn't matter. My dad's passed away and we'll make him out to be a saint. Oh, Daddy did this, Daddy done. The truth is, he was a sinner just like we were that needed Jesus. Does everybody understand? You can't have two gods in your life. You either have God the Father, your dad wasn't a God. And so these traditions sometimes that we're handed down, and we're handed down some mess. Do you understand? All of us are. And we'll hold on to them if we're not careful about it. That's the word. And He's saying that we've been redeemed from these things. There's some things that we need to renounce that we learn. Why? If it doesn't line up with this word, I'm going to tell you one thing. This word doesn't show me anywhere that this word shows any kind of prejudice. Do you understand? I don't care what your parents taught you. This word doesn't say, you know what, even though I owe my allegiance to this flag and I love this country, but you know what, there's something that supersedes even that. Do you understand? And it's called my citizenship in heaven. Okay? Traditions will get in our work in our system. If we're not careful, we'll hold on to them like the Word of God. There's not. We need to critique our traditions because we've got plenty of them, okay? We've got plenty of them. Verses 20 and 21, he says, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you through him believing God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. You know what he said? This was not plan B. This was not plan B. Wait a minute. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and when they chose sin, He had to come up with plan B. Wrong answer. He says from the foundation before it was ever laid, Christ was slain. Now, I'm going to tell you, that'll cook your noodle when you start thinking about it. Yes, not noodle that you wore, okay, last week. I saw her say noodle. Not the sloth, okay? I'm talking about your brain. It says, for indeed He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, in God's panoramic view of things. He sees the finish. He start and the finish. That's how God sees. So in Christ, I've told you this before, we're with Him in eternity. Come on, I know that'll mess your mind up. That foreordained, in other words, before you were ever created, before the world was ever fashioned, Christ was slain. Look, in the mind of God. That's amazing when we think about that. And here he says, in these last days, He's manifest. Why? Christ has come now. What was planned in eternity past has happened, and He's coming in eternity future. He's on the way. Peter said, be encouraged by that. We should reverence and fear God
going to tell you what this should do. When we think about these things, when we think about this reverence, and we think about Christ, we think about our future, it should motivate us, each and every one, to go outside these doors and live for Him. What kind of gospel do we just come in and we get fired up on Sunday morning, but it doesn't make a difference when we step outside the door? That's not a gospel, okay? But when we get a hold of what God has done for us, it'll motivate you when you step outside these doors. It'll change everything. It'll affect and infect every area of your life. When we understand, when we live out this hope, we know what we have in Christ. Let's live it out daily. And applications will be done. Come and place there. Number one, does your salvation make a difference in your marriage, in your job, in your friendship? Is your marriage based upon Christ? If it is, that means you're never arguing. You ask this woman down here, that's be a lie. She has to put up with me. Bless her heart. Does it affect your job? Well, money's coming there, Lord. I got to go back into the ball and chain tomorrow. How about because of Christ? I have the strength to go in and make a difference in my world. And get paid for it. And your friendships. What do you talk about with your friends? Just like the world. Think about it. Number two, is your life marked by Christ or does it look like the world? You know what I mean? Here's the deal. If we put you on trial, could they convict you of being a Christian? Could they? Or you look like the good old boys, the good old girls that you run around with. They don't know no different. You just fit right in. Number three, are you prepared to stand before the Lord and give an account? Stand on your feet, please. What's the Lord saying? Are you prepared? What have you done? If you're saved, what have you done for Him? How are you living? Are you saved? Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Just like last week, God's still coming by. He's still harvesting fruit. Do you know that you need Christ? Because all altars are open right now. Come and receive Christ. Do you look like the world or do you look like Jesus? You need to get that right. Altars open. I ain't going to carry it on. Close your eyes before the Lord and do business. Oh, Lamb of God. Some have come to make you. You're going to go home. Say, well, I should have. But you're going to be obedient. Who cares what anybody thinks but God? One day you're going to be back again. Walking aisle. And the truth is, you can get saved right where you're at. You don't have to walk an aisle. It's not in a prayer. It's going through. It's just coming to the realization that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus and asking Him. I confess Him with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believing in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. Scripture said you will be saved. But I promise you, if that happens, somebody's going to know it. You're going to let somebody know it. We're not going to be ashamed of things in Christ, are we? We're going to let somebody know it. We're going to have a baptismal service here. It ain't going to be very long. And you're going to be blessed to get to see young people that's going to follow Christ in baptism. Might be you as well. You might need that as well, so you let me know. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be digging deeper in this great verse that we really can't get into until you get in that time.